Welcome to this edition of the Law and Liberty podcast of the Chalcedon Foundation. Today I have as my guest Colin Gunn, a man who has been on this podcast before. And the last time we spoke, he was discussing an up-and-coming project that he was working on. Well, that project has come to completion. Indoctrination, the movie, has been released on DVD. And the subtitle of that film is Public Schools and the Decline of Christianity in America. This 90-minute documentary film takes the audience on a panoramic exploration of one of the most important and controversial issues in the history of mankind, and that's the issue of education. Colin and his wife took their children on a yellow school bus, traveled across the country, interviewing various people about the aspects of public schools in terms of their origin and the effect it has on the Christian family and on the Christian commission to go make disciples of all nations. So thank you, Colin, for coming and talking with me today.
Oh, thank you, Andrea. It's a pleasure to talk to you again. We always look forward to being on your show, and thank you for representing the Indoctrination film and presenting it to people. So this is a great opportunity for me. I always look forward to talking to you as well.
And I have to say, there's a smile that comes on my face when I discovered that Joaquin Fernandez first got together with you as a result of his listening to one of the earlier podcasts that we did with you. And so instead of having two separate movies that might have been made at some point in time on this subject, the two of you, as a result of the Chalcedon podcast, got together, and this film had the ability to use both of your unique talents and then all the resources that you have behind you. So it like I said, it puts a smile on my face knowing that we had some small part in this.
Well, it is, and it's no small part. Chalcedon and yourself and the other people that have influenced us, you know who they are. I mean, there's a list of names that just constantly appear throughout our research. Rush Dooney, of course, Samuel Blumenfeld, people that I had heard about before coming to America, and I got to meet you and your involvement in Chalcedon. And it really is encouraging when you realize there's a community of people out there that share your ideology, and we're all doing different things. Some people, like, you're doing podcasting and writing. I can't write, save my life, and so I'm making movies, and we're all doing little different aspects for the sake of the kingdom, and that's great. I think that's what's I get excited about as well, that we're all working together with this common goal to honor God in everything that we do, and particularly in this field of education, which has been your priority. We were able to turn our attention to this, and of course Joaquin Fernandez heard about me. I think he might have known about me, but he heard about what we were planning, and that is the Indoctrination film. And it's been 3 years that we have worked on this project, and we released it just last week. So it really is a time for us to rejoice, particularly because film, I'm very happy with the film. And it is really, really hits home the message. The idea of the film is that it communicates a message to still public schooling Christian parents. And so we're trying to reach that group with the truth about public schools in America.
I've watched the film now 3 times. And first I did it by myself, and then I had my daughter watch it, and then my husband watch it. And every time I have somebody new watch it, I sit and I watch it again. So pretty soon I'll probably be able to recite whole portions of it by memory. But I was struck by the fact how many people who have been influenced by R.J. Rush Dooney's writing and his lecturing and his friendship ended up in this movie. The one person you didn't get to interview was Rush Dooney himself, because this is 10 years since he has passed away, but he's all over this movie in so many ways.
Well, that's it. I mean, his legacy is incredible. And so we're looking, everyone we're meeting, they all know who Rush Dooney is, and particularly those focused on education. It's unavoidable to come across Rush Dooney's name. I mean, it really is amazing. And so we're interviewing. We come up with a list of the people that we want to interview based on our knowledge of the landscape of who we think will be good for the film. And it is amazing how many of them, even the ones that aren't philosophically or ideologically exactly like me, they nevertheless, they know where we're coming from, and they're appreciative, and particularly that's Rush Dooney's work. He did the research. We come along and, you know, I always tell people I'm just a film director. We very much borrow and steal the ideas from people, and we use it. We're never unique. And so Rush Dooney was, and so his book influenced us considerably. His work has influenced me personally. We're always consulting what he's written, and that'll continue to be the case for any other films that we go on and make.
Well, I was recently with you on a webinar that you did a couple of nights ago, and it strikes me that the work, you've put a lot of work in, and you made the statement that you just skimmed the surface with this. And even though I know what it takes to some degree to put together a project like this, you really have just skimmed the surface, because this is meant to get people thinking. And it really is no surprise that homeschooling types like myself love the film, but I think both you and Joaquin made the statement. Now, we know the choir likes this. Now we've got to go outside the choir and really put our shirt sleeves up and get this message, which you've put together in an excellent way. In an hour and a half, someone will know why God wants them to raise their children as Christians.
Yeah, it was certainly a huge challenge to get it in that time frame. There's so much we need to say to people, and we can't do it in a film. It's simply just the case. You know, originally, in fact, we had designed the film to cover both anti-public school perspectives that we want to share with people and the reasons not to public school, and then for at least the second half of the movie to be a movie about homeschooling. We pretty quickly realized there was no way we could do that without it being 3-4 hours long. And so our job is to make a film that is watchable, that people are not going to find it a chore to get through. And so there's things you do when you make films that carry people through it. So you put music, you design the film so it has a narrative. It's not just talking heads, people talking all the time. There's a story of us buying a bus and getting on the bus and then traveling through America. And so you get a lot of visual input that makes it enjoyable. People are not readers these days, and we can lament that, but we have to be honest about it, that it's harder to reach people with books. But our purpose with the film is that those that are serious about it can be pointed in the right direction. So we can only say so much and point people in the right direction. But I believe there's enough content in our film to get a decision from someone not to public school. There's things in there that are terrifying for a Christian to see. And so we believe that a lot of people who are still using the public schools are either heavily deceived by their churches, people around them, the media, or whatever it is that's still making them use the public schools, and they're partly self-deceived. And I think when they watch this film, we hope we'll get a result where they won't be deceived anymore and they'll act upon this important issue.
And one of the things that I think you did that was really wise, you could have made this, you wicked people who are sending your children to public school, but you didn't do that. You acknowledged that most parents, the majority of people, love their children and want what's best for them. And so your whole approach was one in which, instead of waving a bony finger in their face, what you were really doing was walking alongside, putting your arm around their shoulder and saying, have you looked at it from this perspective?
Right. So we make a documentary. You want to make it like a conversation between you and someone in front of you. You know, say you're on a train or a bus and the journey's an hour and a half long. You want to bring up things, but you can't just start railing. You know, there's temptation to do that because rhetoric can win your crowd over. So if I'm speaking to a 100% homeschool audience, they'll play differently to my rhetoric if I joke about things. And, you know, there's a way to handle it when you're talking to someone who, you know, the truth is a lot of people, they're completely fed by the media. They're in churches. They're genuinely Christian. They love their kids, as you said, and as we say in the movie, but they just don't study. They don't read a whole lot. You know, not in a church that reads a whole lot. And so their worldview's shaped so differently. And so you have to be very gentle in the way you bring stuff up and bring it up with lots of scripture. And we repeatedly use scripture throughout the film to slowly build an argument that we think is persuasive. So yeah, it's really important. You got to love your audience and consider how they will respond to it and anticipate all their questions. You know, that was one of the hardest parts of this film. Joaquin Fernandez and myself talked for weeks and weeks and weeks as we wrote the script. I mean, the battle was for us was what do we have to say that's important and how do we say it to this audience? For example, the salt and light argument, probably one of the most significant one for the argument for those that want to argue for sending your kids into the public school. So we had to deal with that. But in documentary filmmaking, we deal with it by bringing testimony. It's not just me being a blowhard and telling you my opinions. And there's a place for me being a blowhard of, you know, and telling people my opinions. But in a film, importance is to bring witnesses. And that's a biblical thing. I always think of biblical law when I think of documentary filmmaking. The evidence of two or three witnesses confirms a matter. In Deuteronomy, it says that. So that reminds me of filmmaking, because we are, in a sense, a form of a jury trial, you know, the audience being a jury. And we come along and we present different types of witnesses, just like I can in a courtroom. So we have our expert witnesses, and they would be people like Samuel Blumenfeld, you know, people that have studied it. They would be like your forensic biologist that comes into the courtroom. And then we have the eyewitnesses, and they're just as important. They're people that have seen what goes on in the classroom. There's a mystery about what goes on in the classroom, because kids aren't honest about it, and there's no one there to observe except the teacher themselves and the kids. And so there's a mystery about what goes on there. So we had to track people down who had been involved in the public school system and can say this is fact. And they're the people that are so valuable for our film. People like Sarah Laverdier and Mike Matarko and Robert Ziegler are characters in our film who have been in the public schools, have faced the trials of trying to be salt and light, and testify to the struggle that they have. So, and that's why documentary filmmaking is valuable. You look into their eyes and you see the honesty as they represent their story, and you begin to really realize that this is meaningful, rather than me just telling you what people are saying, what I think about a subject. You're seeing real people, and that works. It goes a long way to I think affect people.
And I especially appreciated the part. I'd have to say I appreciated it more the third time around, that the young woman who was interviewed, who had been a Christian in a public school, and how it just wasn't what her parents thought it was going to be, and how she became self-conscious, and to her, she says, to her shame, she denied that she was a Christian, or at least never admitted that she was. And so you really have covered all bases. You've covered public school teachers who were Christians who wanted to go in and make a difference, and to find out how their hands get tied, and how they know that if they share the most important aspect of who they are, that they're going to be fired.
Yeah, it really is. It really is important to anticipate the arguments that someone is using public schools. And one of the most important and common arguments is that my teacher isn't as bad, that my school is one of the good schools, and it's all the other schools. And we have a statistic in the film from a Gallup poll, which parents, public school parents, rate their school and then rate the rest of the schools in America. And of course, they always rate their school higher than everyone else's school. And of course, if everyone's rating their school higher than every other school, that's an impossibility statistically. There has to be some truth there. And particularly as Christians, not just from the academic side, but from the moral side, we're seeing, and that's what Lucy testifies to at the start of the film. We realized her testimony was so important, because it's really, as a young Christian woman from Christian parents, her story was extremely important, because she went to a great school. She's extremely smart. She did well academically, but morally, she talks about the consequences and how she was even led to the point of denying that she was a Christian in front of her peers. But she talks about all the things in this great school, this well-funded school, the drugs, the violence, the access of Planned Parenthood, the homosexual education, all those things. She testifies to those things being there in the good schools. And of course, if we want to talk about good schools, we could talk about Columbine it was a good school. It was a great school. It's in a great area in Colorado. The mountains in the background, great sports facilities, beautiful school. And of course, we know what happened there. So people self-deceive largely on appearance. And that, you know, we've got the nice teacher. She seems really nice. And of course, we have the example of Sarah Laverdier, who was a really great teacher, is a really good teacher in the film. You see that. You see her in her classroom. She loves her kids. But she gives an example herself of what goes on in the playground when the other teachers who are part of the unions or are feminists or homosexuals come up and talk to your children. So no matter how nice your teacher is, there's first the other teachers, then there's the peers, and then there's the, of course, the hierarchy of the education system, which includes an agenda upon agenda. So really, you're up against it. And to be hopeful that your kid will not be influenced by all of that stuff is wishful thinking.
I do believe that a person who would sit through the entire film, who is using the public schools, as you said, for the means by which their children will be educated or at least taken care of, even if they don't expect much education to come out of it, I'd be scared to think that there's good reasons beyond what they initially thought to have their children still in the public school system, and to realize that they're going to answer before God someday for what they did with these treasures that he put into their family for the lives to be stewarded. And I can see there being some great division within families where one parent is very much against doing the public school route and the other one is in favor of it. You're going to get down to some, you know, brass tacks. You're going to get to the root of why are we here? Why did God create us? Why did God create the family?
That's such an important issue that really our film is not just a, you know, well, there's been a lot of films about education recently, and none of them are really, they're mostly about administration and how politically we solve some problem. And so they're fairly superficial, even although they're successful films. They just look at, well, charter schools or changing things slightly to get improved scores or whatever. Now, our film it has to get to the root of it. And one of the crisis in America is this division, this generational division between the parents and the children. And we're calling people on that issue. And so we're saying you as a parent have to deal with the responsibility of educating your children. Now, there's a lot wrapped up in that because, as you know, there's a huge cost, personal cost, even financial cost in doing what we're saying. You know, the consequence of the film is like, okay, take him out of the school. Well, that's where the rubber meets the road in people's lives, because so many Americans, as you know, are motivated not for the glory of God, but for other things. You know, the American lifestyle, the American dream, the financial hopes and aspirations, rather than reprioritizing and say, I'll homeschool regardless of the expense. I'll bring my wife home so that she can help with that, so that she, regardless of what it costs us, or I'll work at home regardless of what it costs us. If single moms can homeschool, we encourage people, and I know your audience are already sold in this, but this is something we're seeing in a lot of secular and public radio shows right now, that we really encourage people to just look at what is the priority in your life. And I'm sure you'll admit you love your kids more than anything, more than your car, your home, whatever. So that's why you should reorient your life to accommodate their future. And it's not just education, as people understand it. It's really about their lives. So education for us isn't necessarily us sitting the kids down and going through math or science or whatever. It really is walking with them and spending time with them and constantly shepherding them. This, you know, dealing with the problems as they come up. And we are there to deal with those problems. And those problems might be simple, like covetousness, but we're there to address them. In the public schools, none of those things are ever addressed. That's not their job anyway. But they're there, and they're there for the majority of the week. So that's kind of what we're saying.
Yeah, I guess we'd have to guess. Somebody could question my conclusion, but I doubt there's too many Christian homeschoolers occupying Wall Street.
No, I think they occupy Wall Street. Thing is, it's slightly amusing because they're railing without knowledge, you know, it's shouting at the wind. And so they're saying, we want something else. And how do we want it? Well, we want, the overwhelming support of Obama and more public education. And they're confused. They have our sympathy, of course, as people on this education issue have our sympathy. We need to correct the ignorance over these things, but the public school has fueled that sort of sentiment.
Right, exactly. So these are the products of the socialistic. And that's the other part that I think is really valuable in the movie. That is, you don't just talk about this is bad, this is bad. You give a whole history of the public education movement, and you realize, I think it's R.C. Sproul Jr. who says, I think it's R.C. Sproul Jr. who says, there's nothing to reform. It was started, the foundation of this was intentionally and deliberately anti-Christian. So there's no reforming the school.
No, we had to cover the history of education at some point. It's hard because history is the bit where people kind of zone out, but we did it in about 16 minutes. There's a 16-minute section in there with a bunch of animations, and we interview Samuel Blumenfeld, and he talks about Robert Owen. I know I like Robert Owen, not personally, I don't like his philosophy, but he's special to me because he established New Lanark, which was near my home in Scotland, in Hamilton, Scotland. We used to go to New Lanark all the time, and it was this quaint little village, kind of like New Harmony is, if you go and visit it now. And that was its American version. So you see this little quaint village, and you kind of, I was puzzled over it when I was little. Why are we here? Why is this important? But it is important because he was an early socialist in the 1800s who focused on education, primarily getting kids away from their parents. The parents, of course, having the old traditional Scottish ways of doing things, which were largely Christian. And so they had a vision, utopianists do, and they have this desire to change culture. And you can't change culture if there's a legacy, a family legacy, ideological legacy that's passed down, particularly if it's Christian. They saw that the way to do it was to stop that. So get the kids away and be in control of their education. You've got the control of the culture, and that's why we still have that today, where the statists themselves, like Arne Duncan, is pushing for, let's not have school just, 5 days a week. Let's open it up. Let's have it going on into the evening. Let's have it start earlier where the kids actually have breakfast in the schools. And then let's open it up at the weekend and let's start having potluck dinners. All that stuff is to say that the school is the church of our culture. And they don't say that, but really that's what it comes down to. He says in our film that it's the center of our social lives. And so really we're saying to counter that is the family, and our church life is the same. That's the focus for us, and fellowship through our church, encouragement and teaching through our church, and then through our families as well. That's what we need. So it's a counter church, and it's a church of a secular religion.
Now, I'm grateful for what this movie is, because as superficial or as just skimming the surface, as you said, you've given me an introduction. You've given me a great appetizer as I'm going to help somebody look at the menu of how does God want us to live. And so my interest is, how are you planning, and how can people like myself and those who are listening, how can we help now take indoctrination to the next step, getting audiences of Christian families who are using the public schools to view this? Do you guys have a battle plan?
Yeah, we do. And the film is designed as a tract, in a sense. So it's something that can be handed along. We've seen a lot of success with that idea that people don't read, so they want to watch a movie. And it's hard for you sometimes to bring subjects up. In fact, I always remember someone saying it for Monstrous Regiment, our last film about feminism, they had 8 kids, and they were, she stayed at home, and she gave it to one of her relatives, and the relative came back, oh, I watched the film, it was amazing, I can't believe it. And the irony was that she had been living out that life and everything in the film in front of them for 10, 15 years, and the person had never, thought about it, but it wasn't until they saw the movie that it dawned on them, this is what's going on. So media is that powerful for people. They're just, people are going through lives, they're not thinking. So we can focus them with this film. It's a good thing to pass along as well, because it takes the heat from you. You know, if you go up to someone and, hey, I want to talk to you about your children. Well, no one likes to hear that. So you can say, hey, I've got a good movie that I can show you. And that's a good way to just bring it all up without being there in the room with them so they can take it home and watch it. So we encourage people buy the movie. We're encouraging people to show it in their homes, in their churches. We have, we're encouraging people to do screenings if they can as well. And you can go to the website and email us and we'll give you all the information that you need to do a screening and host it in your town. You can even have me come and speak at an event if you prefer, and I can help you promote. We can promote the event through our website as well. So that's what we're going to be doing over the next few months. We have a long schedule for the next few months where we're going to be showing it and arranging showings in the larger cities and encouraging people to come along and attend and bring their friends. Particularly our desire would be in churches, particularly where it's mixed audience, so you'll have homeschoolers, private schoolers, and public schoolers all there. And our intention is that the Christian community will be, the majority will be homeschooling in the future. And I see it sort of tilting towards that. I see our film participating in that actually happening over the next few years, particularly as the public schools, you know, fall into disaster, which they're pretty close to already.
Right.
And we see people look for alternatives. Thanks to the work of Rush Dooney and your foundation and yourself, people are now really, there's less of an excuse. Technology as well has opened up for a lot of people where the homeschooling doesn't seem unusual anymore, doesn't seem scary because there's other people that are doing it. So it's not weird. And so we're really in a good position now that if we can get this movie into mixed churches, that we can really have an effect on those that are still unsure about homeschooling.
And it might even encourage some of those churches that if not all the parents are either in a financial position to homeschool or not, that the church should have a school, a Christian school, a decidedly deliberate, purposeful school for that transition time until such time as the parents can take full responsibility for the education of their children.
Well, we hope we'll motivate churches. And really, we actually begin with the Southern Baptist Convention, a debate on the floor of the Southern Baptist Convention. We don't criticize them. We have maybe criticized one individual for one comment that he made. But what we say in our film is that the church has a responsibility to deal with this issue, and not just deal with it in the sense of you should do this. There's a responsibility on us all to aid each other, whether it's just with information or practical support. And at the family level, that could be something that people could think about doing. How can I help my family and my friends find it easier to homeschool? Or you said Christian schooling is definitely an option for a lot of people. It's often the easier option, although it can be more expensive. So we're just encouraging. Our film focuses primarily on getting your kids out of the public schools. We don't give all the answers, of course, for time, but in the film there's sort of a subtle, well, not so subtle, allusion to homeschooling as being my choice. Mainly because we mention it. We mention it several times.
Sure.
And because we're honest, you know, we don't do the Michael Moore thing where we go and pretend we don't know anything about it and then we find out all these answers that support socialism. You know, we go and we state exactly our ideology. We're homeschoolers. This is our perspective. This is what we've chosen. But we respect public schooling, Christian parents nonetheless. But we want to go out and find some facts and some evidence to back up our perspective and deepen our argument.
Right. Well, you're acknowledging the truth that everybody has presuppositions
right.
and they work off it. All Michael Moore doesn't. He has them. He just doesn't want to admit them.
That's an important part of honest documentary filmmaking. And we've gone through all these struggles when we make documentary films. And that is one of the big differences between a secular humanist making or a socialist making a film. He does a lot of other things that we would not do in films, like deceive people to get interviews or grandstand people, show up and try and make people look foolish, things like that that he does that is definitely entertaining to watch. But we have a different approach. And as you said, presuppositions up front, let people know what you believe and then explain it through the medium, which is going, you know, the tour. And we used a road trip type of film to explain what we're doing.
Well, you have to answer to a higher authority because Michael Moore does not respect or honor that higher authority.
Well, we're constantly, and you know, this is a big part of film production, is that having a good team, and we had Joaquin Fernandez and Scott Aish, our other producer, you know, we're all Christians, and we have been Christians for a long time, and we all sanctify each other in the process of filmmaking. That's Christian filmmaking, so I don't like mixed films where you have some Christians. You know, I'm not an inside Hollywood kind of person where you have people that are trying to make it in Hollywood and they go in and they work with a lot of people that aren't Christians. And, you know, of course, they never get even close to what a Christian film should be usually. So we're big, you know, it's not about filmmaking is not just about the end result. That's what I'm trying to say. It really is a part of what we have to do is work. The process itself has to glorify God. And I believe it can only glorify God if your teammates are sanctifying you and right. correcting you when you're wrong. So, and that happened a lot. A lot of our time, we'd have long discussions that would be based on scripture and our understanding of the word of God, and it would be detailed issues relating to production. So yeah, that's very important. It's to glorify God in the production, not just in the end product.
So tell me what it was like to travel across the country with 7 children and your wife, obviously, corralling them and making sure that they were well occupied during your various interviews and shooting sessions. What was that like?
Well, it's one of those situations where it seemed like a good idea when you thought it up, and then you go and do it. You're like, yeah, this is a lot more. You know, we had two things going on. We're making a film and we're traveling in a bus with a large family and a crew following us. So that's a significant amount of management. And it was a 3-week tour. Some of the interviews we did separate from the tour, but a lot of the key interviews when we're on location, that was shot last year on our 3-week tour. So yeah, it's tough, but you know, as homeschool families that we know, homeschool families, a lot of flexibility that we know we have to have because dad is doing this, dad has this idea. And there was a point where, you know, that this is really scary, this is going to be tough, and it was tough at points. But on the other hand, there was a real rejoicing when we were on the road because we realized we're doing something that, you know, a year or so ago was just an idea. And the idea was that, you know, if we get the yellow bus, and the yellow bus is probably one of the most obvious symbols of American public education, if we got a bus, and we had no idea at that time how to do this, but if we got a bus and we drove it across America and we had, you know, a logo on the side and we visit all these important places, you know, like Dayton, Tennessee, and then we go to Washington, D.C., and then we go to New York, it would be really interesting an experience. And really a big part of it is about vision, having a vision for a film. So at some point when you're in that process, when you're on set effectively, you're in this bus and you're driving along, there's no AC, and it's, you know, the bus is breaking down, broke down several times. There's a reality to the fact that God and his providence, through the graciousness of donors, of the right participants, of the team being available, and all those things that God has ordained, that you're actually doing what you wanted to do. And that at that point, you just rejoice, and you're so thankful to God that you're doing something that is unique. Not a lot of things like this happen.
I would have to say it's probably very unique. Do your children, especially your older ones, do they feel like they're a part of this project?
Very much. And the little ones don't really know what's going on, but they always remember. It's always funny because we ask them, what do you remember of the tour? And they'll remember they usually say something like, oh yeah, so-and-so had a great set of Lego that we played with. And so-and-so had, oh, they had this dog. And you know, so they're on this different track that we're on, you know, so they're enjoying the excitement of, you know, being out on the road and eating fast food, and we're on the other level of excitement of doing something, meeting all these people. So when you do things like this, it's a great thing. It's great memories for the older ones, especially as they remember this, that they did this. And we actually have a film to chronicle it as well, and that's always interests me too, that at some point when you make a documentary, it becomes historical, that we have captured people that won't be around forever. None of us are around forever, but we've captured moments that aren't around forever. And those things, these will be, you know, people can look back what was going on in education in 2011, and they can look back for, you know, 50, 100 years, and they'll have our film that will speak not just to what we want as a calling, contemporary calling and a charge for people to act upon, but it's a historical document that, that chronicles people like, you know, John Taylor Gatton, Samuel Blumenfeld, and Howard Phillips, and Ken Ham, and all these people, that we capture them in a moment of time. And that to me excites me as well, that even after we're gone, there's some amount of legacy for the Christian community to pass it along. I wish there was more films from the 60s of Rush Duty, or, you know, imagine how great that would be. So we're now in an age where digital media is cheap. Making films is much cheaper than it ever used to be. So we're in a position to have thing that we actually pass on within the church. And that I like that.
And I believe you're inspiring people. I know Joaquin mentioned in our webinar event the other night that a lot of the young men who helped him on this project had never done anything like that, but he recruited them. They were his interns, and now they've got a resume that's building. And instead of having the goal to be, when I grow up, I'm going to be a Hollywood editor, we can actually create our own industry, and not, and Hollywood may come begging to us and going, hey, could we do something? And you'll say, well, I don't know. First thing you have to do is, you know, read Institutes of Biblical Law before we'll let you really work with us.
That's really the method that we're seeing, largely through the influence of the San Antonio Independent Christian Film Festival. And Doug Phillips had this vision to establish a film festival that was based on biblical law and biblical principles. And he's rewarded people that do follow first biblical law, rather than what will please people or what will excite people. And what we're having is this community, and we have all these young men going to San Antonio for the boot camp there, and also the festival itself. And we really now have met that situation where there's a lot of people being employed and making these films, and the films potentially can be profitable. The people, there's a hungry audience that are sick, they're just sick of Hollywood. And I have Netflix, and I scroll through the films, and I'm looking up, no, I can't watch it, it's all junk.
Exactly.
You know, and I'm desperate to find something. I generally only watch documentaries because they're usually the most sanctified of in content. And so people are you know, keen to find good things to watch and have their families watch. And so there's a demand, and there's a lot of people that, these young men, it's so exciting to work with them. They're so useful for us, you know, as we are older and have families, there's lots of things we have to be doing that they don't need to be doing, so they can commit a lot of time in learning software, learning how to use the equipment that we can't get around to. So it's working very well, as you have the us all working together as these teams. And our team for Indoctrination grew to, you know, quite a few, you know, at least I would say 15 people would have had a hand in the actual content of the film in terms of production. So from editors and assistant editors, interns, graphic artists, and all the rest of it, there's a lot of people that have participated.
Tell me what it would be like to do a project like this if you didn't have your wife at your side.
It wouldn't happen. Just, you know, as we're traveling in the bus, you know, my wife is taking on a huge responsibility. I always kind of joked with my wife, you know, that she, when we get married, there was no discussion of filmmaking, you know. I didn't even, I always loved film and never thought I would be doing it. And so I always think it's kind of funny that now she's got something else in her life that's almost well, you never thought this would happen, you know. And then I'm announcing, you know, to audiences, oh, we're gonna make this film and we're gonna travel across America and in a school bus. And she's like, are we really gonna do this, you know? And so as all us Christian men know, we have to rely on our wives for so much, and taking care of the kids while we're traveling. And she takes a lion's share of the homeschooling effort that we have as well. We couldn't do it without her. It's just so valuable. And Joaquin would say the same as well. We're so dependent upon our family's help through all of this, because particularly, and we talked about a little bit about this in the webinar, the commitment, the time commitment. And, you know, I've worked in this film without pay, you know, for this time, you know, and it's a lot of commitment. it, you know, the time is overwhelming. We, you know, for during September, Joaquin Fernandez and I were on Skype for at least 6 hours a day. What I was watching the edit, would review a section, and we'd debate it, and then we'd have emails and images and ideas going back and forth, and we'd just be working, and that's been consistent for the best part of post-production this year. So there's a considerable amount of effort, and it's you know, the wives have to just support. And they do support us through all that.
Well, I think the key here is both you and Joaquin are the father of children, and you have an interest in the future. And you, all the films that you, the Gunn brothers, have made, whether it was the homosexual issue or the feminist issue and now the education issue, these have long-range implications. And so this really is a very high calling, and I imagine both your wives and the children who are old enough to appreciate it are probably honored to be part of your families because you're willing to take the calling God gave you and run with it.
Well, I think we want them to share in our vision, particularly the older kids, as they're sort of understanding, well, what's Dad doing? You know, it's sort of unusual. And I got out of, sort of corporate America a few years ago, about 3 years ago, primarily to focus on this venture. And so I was a professional animator, and I haven't been doing that for the last year at least. And so there's been this thing where I've been focused upon, well, what I want for my family, what vision do I want them to have, and I don't want my career just to be this bubble that's separate from that, that's just a cash cow that we go to when we need the money. We want to be focused, that our whole lives are focused on this vision, and it's an exciting calling to have, but it's a very intensive calling to be called to Christian filmmaking. There's always this difference between career and calling, and it's good when you have that combination where you really do feel called to this work.
And I imagine both of you men have mentors and those who you look to for counsel to keep you honest and to make sure that in the effort of doing this, you're not neglecting the responsibilities that you have as husbands and fathers.
Well, definitely that's the difficulty for all of us as men, is to balance that responsibility. The good thing that's happened for me particularly is that I can work at home now. I'm not stuck in a cubicle. I'm there to participate in the homeschooling, and we include all the things that we do for the business side of the filmmaking with as a family venture that we're all working on. It older ones are seeing what I'm doing, so if I go on a shoot, I prefer to take them with me so that they're learning. And, you know, they're not just learning how to make films, that's really not what it's about, but they're learning to be around adults, they're learning how to act like I act in terms of talking to people and relating mm-hmm. to people. That's sort of what we're focused on right now. We're not perfect, and we see as many, you know, any homeschool family has issues and things they need to continue to work on, and time management certainly being a bit of a challenge for all of us, but certainly being at home has been a big privilege over the last few years for me.
Okay, two more questions and then I'll let you go, because I know your time is precious and there are lots of other people who want to talk to you about this project. First off, give us the contact information, how people can actually purchase the DVD and find out more about possibly bringing you to their area or having screenings either at churches or individual homes. Where will they find this information?
If they go to indoctrinationmovie.com, they can get the DVD there. There's also a page for screenings, and they can go there and email me through that page, and we will send them information. We're going to start adding all of the dates of screenings on there. But if you email me through that page, I will get back to you and I will tell you all the things you need to do to host a screening, and we'll help promote it for you so that you can get a lot of people out there, either to your church, your home, or renting a theater. And yeah, so that's what you do. Go to indoctrinationmovie.com.
So this isn't the second question. This is part B of my first question, because I told you there'd be two. So once, assuming that people will see the film and be moved by it, Are you going to have ways in which people can be in touch with Homeschool Legal Defense or Vision Forum or CalCedon or people like myself who are eager and willing to help people get started on their homeschooling journey?
It's definitely the idea, and we'll be working on that to draw point people in the right direction. So our film only does so much, and we're very aware of that, that we focus on the public schools being a problem and a place they need to avoid at all costs. And so our goal is to point people in the right direction. So at some point we'll have, especially if we're at these events, or if people are hosting these events, we want to make it clear that there's places that they need to be pointed to either find curriculum or find help or be encouraged some way towards being within the homeschool community and being helped by the homeschool community.
Okay. Now my second question, which hopefully will be my final question so you can move on with your day. Last time we spoke, after we had conversations, I asked you what your next project was, and your next project was this. Are you already contemplating a next project?
Yes, I actually have a list of 6 projects that we are keen to get into production. I can't share any of them with you. I always like to give you my exclusive, as you know, Andrea. So
Right. No, I understand.
But right now, there's not enough. None of them have enough traction yet. But they're really good, though. You're going to love them.
But okay,
There's a lot of ideas there. Of course, it won't be a surprise. I don't think it was a particular surprise when we chose public schooling, as our subject last time, because, we go from big topic to big topic. We only spend our time and our money because it's so long to make these films, and it's expensive as well. So we're not going to pick something little. It's got to be something that really is a big issue of the day that has to be fixed. And particularly, there's a Christian way to fix it. The people are, usually we'll pick something that where the majority of people really need correction on. So we have some ideas, and we're just focusing on getting those into pre-production right now.
Okay, so I can stand not getting my exclusive right now. That's fine. But what I'm more interested in is maybe duplicating what happened last time. If there are people mm-hmm. who God has blessed with an abundance of resources and would like to generate them in your direction, I imagine if they contact you, you'd be in a position maybe to share with them some of the ideas you have. And one of those 6 ideas might be something that's just up the alley of what they would like to see done. So you are looking for investors, correct?
Right. So the way it works is for Indoctrination, we get sponsors. And that was a real blessing to us, because they would come on. And one of our sponsors, in fact, 2 of our sponsors have been desperate to make a movie in this area for Indoctrination. So Class, Christian Liberty Academy School Systems, and we was one partner. Exodus Mandate, Evrey Moore, was another partner. And of course, we can do what they can't do, which is make a film, or they can't do easily. We can make a film. We know how to do it. We've done it a few times now. But they have resources to help us, not just financially, but also in terms of the network that they have, which is concerned with these issues. So they're able to do something we can't do. And so, that's sort of what we're looking for. The sponsorship would come in. And of course, the benefit is you get you get advertised on the DVD, and you get a trailer for a promotional for your organization. And so anyone can contact me. They can contact me through colingunn.com. We'll tell them all about future projects.
That's excellent. Okay. Well, I hope everybody makes use of the link that he just gave you. And I am eager to see how God is going to use this to really fulfill the idea of parents taking responsibility for their children's education with the purpose of raising the elders, the statesmen, the doctors, the lawyers of the future, so that the hopes we have for our country are realized because people understood that obeying God was the most important thing that they should do.